Hey everyone, thank you for joining me today as we continue our walk through the Strange Paradiso. I have a couple of things that I'm going to share with you. The first one is something that was reported. Now, the person who experienced this really doesn't know if it was a dream or if this is something that really happened, with the exception that at the end of this, there is some evidence that says that this was a very real experience, not a dream. But anyways, what happens is now this person, Sheila, and she said that I can use her name. Okay, so Sheila went to bed one night, and she says she had this dream, and in this dream, there was this entity that pulled her out of her bed and started like flying away with her. She says it pulled her out of her bed, and she could feel this. It pulled her from like her shoulders. It grabbed both of her shoulders and pulled her and went out the window. She says she saw the starry night sky. She felt the breeze going past her. She could hear the breeze as this thing was flying through the air. At some point, there was another entity who was higher than they were, okay? The altitude of this other entity, the second entity, was up higher. And what happened was it had, like she said, the only way I can describe this is like it was some kind of silver lasso. And it lassoed her and yanked her away from the first entity. And the next thing she knows, she was being lowered back to the earth and in through her window back to her bed. Then this silver lasso just seemed to slowly disappear. So when she woke up, she remembered this dream. She was just like, wow, what kind of dream was this? So she gets up and she goes into her kitchen to go get some water because she was kind of reeling from this dream, this lucid dream or whatever it was. And she went in to put some cold water on her face afterwards in her bathroom. She looked in the mirror, and there was a mark around her body, like a rope. There was like a rope mark. She said it was kind of like a bruise, but it wasn't a really dark bruise. It was just kind of like a reddish color. Now that mark stayed there and slowly faded right in front of her eyes. So it seems that it was a dream, okay? It was some kind of a dreamscape, except for the evidence, the mark that was around her body where that lasso had been. And she went on to say that even though it disappeared slowly, okay, the mark around her body started to fade, there is still a slight discoloration where the lasso was, even to this day. Now, it didn't happen that long ago. It did happen this year. But there is still some, I mean slight, but there is still some evidence. And it is like in the shape of a rope, if a rope had been around you. Very strange, and I mean, it's pretty intense. So what was entity number one? Where was it going? What was the agenda? And what was entity number two? Seems that the second one was like something that said, no, no, you're not going to take this person, and kind of like rescued her. Or does it just seem that way? The reason I say this is because I had an experience where I thought that something rescued me. But I was wrong. The same thing that I thought that rescued me was actually the same thing that I needed to be rescued from. So in this case, now I'm not saying it's the same thing as what happened to me, but we have to be wary. We have to be careful. Were these two things actually the same? Was it for an agenda that is not beneficial for her, for Sheila? So just because, we have to have an understanding of these things. And if something were to happen again, if she maybe starts noticing activity or starts noticing certain things, okay, because she knows what to look for. Even though we know what to look for, and we understand the way things work, every so often we are still fooled. We are still coerced. We're still kind of naive in certain things, okay? I mean, that should have never happened to me. I should have known better. But it happened. And it does happen, okay? And it doesn't mean that we're dumb or we... whatever the case may be, okay? These things do happen. Every so often, once again, guys, we can be fooled, okay? It's not anything to be ashamed of. So having that discussion, she said, I understand what this could mean. It seems that something or some other entity rescued me, but I do understand the concept of it may be like part of an agenda. Number one and number two were both going for the same thing. So we'll see if anything happens in the future. In the meantime, the thing that is most important to do is to pray about this. That is the most important thing. And ask for guidance and to keep these things away from us. Okay. Either way, that was a pretty intense dream. Okay. Now, this is something that's very strange. Now, there are these apartment buildings, okay? Huge complexes that seem to be springing up in so many locations. And I'm not talking just about a regular old apartment building. No, these are just huge. It's like where they build houses, like a housing neighborhood. Well, these apartment complexes are as big as like these big, huge housing complexes, okay, that we see, the master plan communities and all this stuff. I'm telling you, they are just huge. And they're going up in many places, maybe where you are located, maybe in all counties, but I know in Riverside County, it seems that they're springing up all over the place. And once again, these are huge complexes. Now, I don't know how many units they're going to contain. I wouldn't even know where to start, but I've never seen anything this big before. It's taking up, I don't know how many acres, okay? So across the street from this particular apartment complex, there are houses. There are neighborhoods. So now when the people are upstairs in their houses or they're sitting out in their balconies, they're going to be able to just look across the street and see these huge apartment complexes, okay, in this particular area that I'm talking about. So these complexes are probably, maybe they're halfway finished. They got a long way to go because the thing is so huge. And so what has been reported is that now there were some people in the housing community that were sitting outside. It was a really nice evening. We've had so much rain in Riverside County that people take any chance they get to be able to go outside and to enjoy being outside. So they were out there, and it was a couple. They're sitting out there on their balcony, and they're talking about the huge complex that's going in across the street. And of course, they're concerned about traffic and what have you. So anyways, they're out there, and they see something on the roof of one of these apartments, okay, that are being built. For a moment, because they're not finished, these complexes are not finished. Many of them are still in the framing stages, okay? So for a moment, they think, oh, it's the workers. The workers are there. Until they realize, no, the workers stopped working at sunset. You know, now it's like evening. But they still see this thing up on the roof of this one apartment that's right across the street. So they start speaking to one another. What is that? For a moment, this thing seems to be standing on its two legs. It's obviously bipedal, but it's not as tall as an adult. They notice that this thing is maybe 4 feet tall, maybe 3.5 feet. They can't really tell. But all of a sudden, another one comes up, and it looks to them like this other one came walking up from behind where the first one was, and they're just standing there, and it looks like they're talking to one another, and then they both turn around, both of these creatures, whatever they are, turn around and look directly at the people who are sitting on their balcony watching this whole thing. Suddenly, because they're like, even though we couldn't see faces on these things, it was too dark and there's no lighting over there because the apartment complex is not finished. They were standing on an unfinished roof, these creatures. And even though they couldn't see facial features, they still realized that for whatever reason, they were having eye contact with these things. And those things were still as can be, like statues. They were not moving. They both said, we feel as though holes were being drilled into us, like those things had a locking gaze on us, and we could not turn away. They were afraid to turn away. At that moment, they were afraid that if they turned their heads, these things, whatever they were, would be like on their balcony railing. And the strange thing is that both of these people had that very same feeling. They did not speak. They were frozen in place also looking at these creatures, whatever the heck these things were. So suddenly, these two creatures or whatever they were grow. They slowly get taller. And as they got taller, the shapes of them, the figures, got skinnier. I got goosebumps right now. And they say, as they grew taller and got skinnier, their color changed. And it seemed like they were emanating some sort of light. Okay, there was no light around there. There's no spotlights. There's no light in the complex because they're not finished yet. It's dark in there. So these things were like lit up. And then they just kind of like went poof. And when that happened, it's like there was some type of internal explosion, okay? And these things just kind of exploded. And when they did, it was like these little tiny bats or some kind of creature with wings, but very small, just started flapping around. Like these things, when they exploded, they turned into a bunch of like little tiny bats or moths or some kind of winged insect. And then they just kind of like flew off in all different directions. Now, these people who saw this admit they were out there, okay? They were out there having some wine. But they both say, we had one glass of red wine. We were not out there tripping. We were not out there drunk. One glass. And this is what they saw. And they both saw it. Both of their stories match. I don't know. I have no idea at all what took place there. But I will tell you guys, this is not the first time that I have heard about things seeming to be solid matter and then kind of like dissipating into a bunch of insects or things like that. This is not the first time. Now, once again, we know that these things are there to scare people, to put fear in people, to put loathing in people, to cause anxiety and all these other negative emotions. We know this. But what this is, like the category, whatever, I don't know. So I was talking a little while ago with Victoria Kennedy, and I was telling her the story about that one guy who he saw this thing in his backyard. He bought a new house. He was in there alone. It was just him. It was his house. He was not married. He bought this house, and he was laying in his bed one night, and he turns over and he looks out in his backyard because, you know, he's a first-time homeowner, and he just turns around, oh, this is great. Looks out in his window into his backyard, and he sees this thing out there that looks like a scarecrow standing there with its arms outstretched. And so he props himself up on one shoulder, and he's looking like, what in the heck is that? And then he blinks and the thing is gone. So he gets up and he goes stands up and goes to look out the window. Like, I know what I saw. It wasn't a shadow. It wasn't the moonlight coming down through the trees and creating this image. No. He said, I saw what I saw. I don't know what it was. It looked like a scarecrow. And then it just disappeared. So, okay. No big deal. So a week or so later, or the weekend comes, and he has his younger brother come out. Now, his younger brother was like about 13 years old, 13 or 14 years old. And so it's nighttime, and he's in his room, and his little brother is in the guest room. And his little brother wakes up, and he's like, what's that? There's something in your backyard, blah, blah, blah. So this guy gets up. And now He sees that thing again. But now he's angry, okay? Because now whatever this thing is has scared his little brother. So he's like, that's it. You know, I'm not having this. So he opens that sliding door. He opens that screen and he's running out there in the backyard because he's going after this thing. Whatever this thing is, this is it. It's going to stop right now. So he gets just inches away from this thing. He's like, I'm going to grab it. I'm going to tear it apart. He's just set on destroying this thing. And the thing disappears. Inches. His hand was, he's like maybe 2 or 3 inches from grabbing this thing and it just vanishes. And he was just like raging. I'm going to tear this thing apart, okay? And that was it. It never happened again. As a matter of fact, nothing ever happened again. So I was telling her about this story, and she says, well, it never happened again because of his energy. Because these things are there to frighten people. Yes, we know this. She said, because his energy was, I mean, he had no fear in him whatsoever. He was going to destroy whatever this thing was. And he didn't call it out. He didn't say, come and get me. He didn't say anything like that, which is a real no-no, okay? We don't do that. He just went to destroy it. So she says, these things, okay, they're there to frighten people, to cause fear. And so they're like bullies. And if you stand up to a bully, well, they're not going to bully you anymore. And if you kick the bully's ass, they're really not going to bully you anymore. And then the whole school is going to know that you're, you know, you're a badass, okay? So that's kind of like the same thing with these. So whatever that thing was, whatever the agenda was, realized that it was picking on the wrong person. This guy wasn't having it. And so it just went away. And that was that. Now, in the meantime, we have to wonder, okay, so if this thing, actually the ghoul was afraid of the person, okay, because the ghoul went away and just never came back. So how do these things work? Like, do these things have some kind of, you know, they got a job to do. So was that ghoul fired from its job? I mean, you know, we can look at it a little bit lightheartedly also. How do these things work? But yeah, as a matter of fact, this person got married a couple years later, you know, and his family lives in that house. Nothing ever happened again. So I understand that. It's the energy, okay? The energy that we give off. And we all put energy out there. So that is why, okay? It never happened again. But now, also, and this is a big one, guys, this person, okay, I'm not saying that this person was perfect or that he was just like had no bad qualities. There's no, absolutely no negativity in this person at all. No, but this person was, his heart was pure. Okay. And by that, I mean that this person was not a practitioner. This person was not arrogant. This person was not, I mean, a lot of the qualities, okay, that this person did not have was actually a benefit to him in that way. Because it doesn't always work like that, where just because you're angry and you're not afraid, it doesn't always work as easily as that. Like, these things are going to go away, it's never going to come back, blah, blah. No, because there are certain things that people do that kind of like cause a weakness, as well as certain things people don't do that can cause a weakness. So that, okay, well, this thing went away, but now it's going to like call its friends in, and maybe its friends are bigger and better than that first thing was. But it all depends also on the individual. And I know that I'm not saying this happens every single time, but from time to time, it can happen. And it has happened. Because many of these things are so far out of our realm and out of our like jurisdiction, in other words, okay, that we don't have the power to fight them. So, especially when we have weaknesses. And then you come to the dabblers who accidentally or unknowingly let things in, who open doors without realizing it, and things like this, okay? So some of these things are real weaknesses, as well as people who have engaged in certain things in the past and have never closed those doors, okay? So it just makes it maybe more of a possibility. So in those cases, and in actually in all the cases, okay, there's some things that people don't take into consideration, and that is that we don't have the power to fight some of these things or all of these things. That's where we have to use the power of God, okay? We have to use the blood of Jesus, and we have to know who to call upon, who's Jesus. I mean, that's the only name that we can call upon, okay? And whether you are a believer or not, I'm going to tell you guys something, all right? I have never heard anyone who has been confronted with a certain situation. And I'm not saying this to be funny or to poke fun or to say anything disparaging about anyone's belief or religion, okay? But I have never heard anyone call upon any other name and things cease. I'm going to tell you, when I hear about people who have been abducted, okay? They've been abducted, they say, by extraterrestrials, people who have seen or been attacked by evil demonic entities or the diabolical, people who have come face to face with certain things, okay? And I have spoken to many, many people. And I don't try to put words in anyone's mouth, but they have never told me that they've ever called upon, for example, okay? I'm just putting this out there, for example, Buddha. And things have stopped. I have never heard one person, and I know many, many people who are Buddhists and who have been confronted and who have seen things and have witnessed things and encountered things. I know that they will call them in afterwards to do blessings and things like this. But as far as any name, there's only one. And that is Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, you guys know that I am not a religious person, because by saying religious means that I am of a particular religion, which I am not. I am a cradle Catholic, okay? I was like born and I was Catholic. But some of the things that Catholics do, I just can't do. I just don't do. So, you know, it's like when you're a member of a club, you go along with the club rules. You're a member, right? You can't break away from the club and say, oh, well, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't like it. Well, then it's like, well, then you got to get out of the club. Well, it's the same thing, okay? I'm a Catholic, but I cannot be a, what is it, a buffet Catholic where I just pick the things I like about it and the rest I leave behind. Either I'm all in or I'm not in at all. So, yeah. And even when I was really young, I realized that there were some things. And you know what, guys? Those of you who are Catholic, I'm not bashing the church. But I'm pretty sure that over the years, things have changed. It's not the way it began. It's changed. And let's face it, it's become corrupt. The Catholic Church, I'm not saying everybody in it is corrupt. But the higher-hires, yeah, it's questionable. The Pope, let's talk about this, okay? He's very, very questionable. And coming from me, let me tell you guys something. One time I was talking to my grandmother, and I said something about the Pope, all right? I don't remember what it was. I said, well, I'm not going to like curtsy or whatever you call it to the Pope or kiss his ring. He's not Jesus. He's just a man. And he just puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like my grandfather does, just like my dad does. And I also said, and I don't like the Pope. Well, my grandmother took a step back from me, as well as a few other members of my family, and they all went like, like that. Like they were waiting for a bolt of lightning to come down from the sky and strike me dead. She was like, I can't believe you just said that. Well, that's the way I felt then, and that's the way I feel now. I don't feel that just because you're the head of something, you are taking the place, okay, of the one that you are supposed to be speaking about. I'm not even going to say representing. How are we going to represent Jesus? How are we going to represent God? We are not good enough. And for this guy to feel that people should come and kiss his ring, no. Jesus washed the feet of some of the people. He never sat down and people come and kiss his feet or kiss his hand. So how is that representing Jesus? Oh, come and kiss my ring. I don't think so. But that's just me, okay? So at some point, guys, what I'm saying is that the church began its slow turn around to now worshiping the creation instead of the creator. I mean, come on. So I guess what I'm saying is that I can't be Catholic anymore, but we all know that. But anyways, I guess I'm just a, what do you call it? Old school Catholic? But I don't even know what they did then. I don't even know how long they've been worshiping the Pope, all right? But I personally, I'm not going to worship the Pope or any person. How did I get on this? That happens sometimes. But anyways, once again, guys, all of you other Catholics out there, I'm not bashing our church. I'm not bashing the church, okay? But it's right before our eyes. And it doesn't happen like overnight. Wham, bam, okay, we used to do this, now we do that. I know a few people, I'm just going to say one more thing. I know some people, and one of them was one of my clients. This is so many years ago. And she told me that, I don't know when this took place, maybe in the 70s. She said that the Catholic Church got rid of some of the saints. Now, I don't know how you get rid of saints, but she said that the Catholic Church, for example, they used to have St. Christopher, okay? So people used to wear St. Christopher's medals. And then one day the church said, well, you know what? We're not going to have St. Christopher anymore, so now we're going to void him. She said that was not the only saint that the Catholic Church voided. But when this happened, because she was so into her Catholicism, she believed in the church so much that when they did this, she actually had a nervous breakdown. She had a breakdown because they voided some of the saints. When you think about this, I know that she's not the only one who that happened to. That's only one person. But I know that there are more who probably broke down about that. What about the people who had those saint names from their confirmation? And all you Catholics know what I'm talking about, okay? So say you made your confirmation in 1965 and you're a male, so your saint name was, and your saint is Saint Christopher, and now all of a sudden he's been voided. Well, what in the heck do you do? Oh, he's no longer a saint? So now do you have to go be reconfirmed and pick a different one? So it's a lot more involved than just voiding certain saints. There's a lot more involved. So once again, when you've got these rules that were made up by people, Jesus didn't make that rule up. See, that's what happens. These things can happen. Well, anyways, that's enough talk about Catholicism. But if you guys want to hear more about it, trust me, I got plenty more. And you can let me know, okay? Especially some of you Catholics may be really interested in some of this. And, you know, these are things that we don't talk about. I mean, as a matter of fact, I didn't know about the saints being voided. I don't even know how many or who was voided, okay? I just know Saint Christopher. That's all I know. But, there's been quite a few things that have gone on. And once again, guys, I'm not saying that everyone in the church, I'm not saying that all the cardinals and the bishops and the priests are all bad or all corrupt. I'm not saying that at all, because there are plenty of good people in there, even though many are misled. And the ones who aren't, the ones who know what's happening and who are speaking out, I'm thinking, if you know what's going on and you're speaking out, I understand. You probably love your church, but at some point, if you don't agree with the club, you've got to get out. If you can change it back to the way it's supposed to be, okay, but that probably would have been done already. But that's just me, okay? That's just my opinion. Maybe some people are there and they figure, no, I can't get out because this is worth fighting for. And I understand that too. Some things are worth fighting for. Anyways, guys, that's all I've got for today, and you're probably pretty glad about that. But I'm sorry. Sometimes I still call it our church, okay? Because just saying that you're not Catholic anymore is not an easy thing to do, especially a person who was born pretty much into the faith, you know, us cradle Catholics, all of us who have made all of our sacraments and all of this. It's not easy to do because that is kind of like our training. And we always revert back to our training. And I understand that because I do that myself. Do I believe that the church is worth fighting for? Yes, I do. But I also feel, okay, I could be wrong, but I also feel that it's pretty much a lost cause at this point. And I hate to say it, but that's how I feel. I'm not saying I'm correct in my feeling, but that's how I personally feel, unfortunately. Okay, so anyways, I don't know when I'm going to be able to be back again. I'm going to try for Friday, okay? And then this time I'm not going to get sidetracked. I've got some more stuff to share with you guys. And so we'll be walking and talking again soon as possible. You guys know that you can always contact me, maybe_Maria@outlook.com. And if there's something that you want to hear about, something that you want me to look into or to speak about more, you know, get into more depth and detail, let me know, all right? And then we can do that. We can work that out. I've been getting some requests and when Victoria Kennedy will be back on. Well, between her schedule and mine, it's so difficult, but I'm going to try to get her on next month, okay? I was speaking to her today earlier, and I'm trying to get her for next month in May. So, right, we got to take a look at our respective schedules and see when we can do this, all right? And then we'll be having an interview. That's always fun. So, have a great day, everyone, and thank you so much for taking this journey with me through this very strange and getting stranger daily. Paradiso. Ciao.